If you have your Bibles, I want you to grab them and turn to Matthew chapter 28. All right, we're going to start a brief three-week series today, and we're calling it Priorities. And we thought with the turning of a calendar year, a new calendar, always talking about new resolutions and new commitments. Well, these are some priorities that need to be a part of your life in 2026. Now, as a church, we have what we call focused priorities. And we always, at the beginning of the year, do a little series that highlights these focused priorities. We put it in a mission statement that looks something like this. It'll be on the screen for you. It says, Champion Forest advances the kingdom. And what are these focused priorities? There's three of them. We advance the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. This is what we want to be about as a church. It serves as a filtering system, if you will, for everything that we do, every mission we embrace, every ministry we decide to be a part of. What we do as a church filters through, is this helping us make disciples? Is it loving our community? And is it strengthening the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? We talk about this in our new members class. It's one of the very first things that we address. And by the way, I can't think of a better resolution than joining a church. Like in much of life, you get out of it what you put into it. Next week is our membership class. And if you've never joined Champion Forest and you're interested, text membership to 77069. And we would love to have you. You meet our team in that class. It's 1 hour right before the worship service here. You meet our team. You hear our ministry philosophy. We go over these focused priorities. And here's what you're going to discover about these focused priorities as we outline them here over the next 3 weeks, is that not only do they define our church, but they should define our life individually. And that makes sense, right? Because we are the church. Church isn't brick and mortar. It is believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what we prioritize as a church, we should prioritize as individuals. Now, my goal in this series and my goal today is to be extremely practical. I told you last week, if you're here, I think this message I preach today may be the most practical message I've ever taught. I don't want this to be theoretical knowledge. I don't want it to be about intellectual knowledge. I want this to be about practice. I don't want to just tell you why you should be a disciple of Jesus. I want to show you how you can be a disciple of Jesus. And so if you're taking notes, as I encourage you to, if you're looking for a title, it's simply Making Disciples. Now, here's the deal. At its most basic elementary definition level, the word disciple, it means learner. That's all it means. To be a disciple of Jesus is to be a learner of Jesus and his ways. There were two forms of discipleship when Jesus walked the earth. You had the Greek model, which is like Plato, Socrates, and Aristotle, okay? So that was like we're doing right now. You sit still while I instill. That was that kind of truth. It was philosophical. It was intellectual. They asked questions, and they answered questions with questions. That was the Greek model of discipleship, how one learned. The Hebrew model was very different. It was life on life. I mean, Jesus, he became a carpenter because his earthly father, Joseph, was a carpenter. He followed in his steps. Whenever one wanted to follow a rabbi, they would go to that rabbi and they would say, I want to be your disciple. I want to be your learner. And if the rabbi allowed them to be his disciple, they followed that rabbi everywhere. They ate with him. They traveled with him. This is why you see Jesus and his disciples always together. It was the Hebrew model of discipleship was a come alongside. It was a mentorship, an apprenticeship. Think of our residency here at our church where we have all these young men and women who are training for ministry. They come on our team. They live with us. They learn from us. This is the type of discipleship that Jesus instilled, and he took even what the Hebrews were used to a different level. Because Jesus taught that if you're going to follow me, it's going to take a total reorienting and reordering of your life. Like, I want complete allegiance. You can't come after me. You can't be my disciple unless you renounce everything and follow me. Totally different form of discipleship than anyone had ever experienced before. And by the way, Jesus and his discipleship, the disciples didn't come to Jesus and say, I want to be your learner. Jesus went to them and chose them to be his disciples, the same way he comes to us and chooses us to be his disciples. Now, there are two verses that I want to highlight today as it relates to discipleship. The first one is going to be like, yes, of course, Matthew chapter 28, all right? We call it the Great Commission. And as I was studying this week, I read a research that in 2017 or 18, Barna asked regular churchgoers if they knew what the Great Commission was. 51% couldn't define the Great Commission, all right? Well, let that never be said of us, Champion Forest, all right? The Great Commission is Matthew 28, 18 through 20. So if somebody calls you and says, hey, we're taking some research here. What church do you go to, Champion Forest? Do you know the Great Commission? Please answer it, all right? Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Here's what the Bible says. Jesus came to them, all of his disciples. He's resurrected. He's getting ready to ascend back to the Father. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, look at this, and make disciples of all nations, of all people groups. By the way, this is one of the major reasons we do give, because we support the Great Commission with mission causes that are happening all over the world that we sponsor, church plants happening all over North America. When we give, it is a way that we go. Now, the tense that's being used here in the New Testament, Jesus, if you're reading it literally, it's as you go. This is an act of faith right here. Meaning, as you go to the classroom, as you go to your workplace, as you go to your neighborhood, everywhere you go, your head is on a swivel, because what do you want to be about? You want to be about making disciples. As you go, you want to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is why baptism is so important, because baptism marks you as a believer. Baptism doesn't save you, but the reason we make a big deal out of it is because it marks you. How do we know whether you're a Christian or not? The New Testament form of showing that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are his disciple, is to be water baptized. So if you've never been baptized, I want to encourage you, it's way more than just this practice that we do, just this ordinance of the church. I mean, it symbolizes, I am a disciple of Jesus. So as we go, the thrust is on making disciples, baptizing those disciples in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then look at it, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, showing them the ways of Jesus. And he says, and I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So we want to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to make disciples. It was said of rabbis in Jesus's day that to truly be a learner of the rabbi, you needed to walk so closely to him that the dust of his feet kicked up on your face. That's a good picture of what it is to follow Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus. We want to follow so closely to him that the dust kicking off his sandals is kicking us in the face. Jesus is still calling us today to be his disciples. If you've never trusted in Christ, never received him as Lord, that's the first step. You trust him by faith, his death, his burial, his resurrection. You say, Jesus, I'm turning the leadership and lordship of my life, stop going my own way, doing my own thing. I'm gonna turn, the Bible calls it repentance, and I'm gonna follow you. I'm gonna be your disciple. And the primary way that we walk in a discipleship relationship with Jesus is through his word and through prayer. And prayer in elementary terms is simply communicating, it's communion with the Father, okay? You cannot have a relationship with Jesus. You cannot be in a discipleship relationship with Jesus if you're not giving yourself to his word and to prayer. The word is where Jesus is revealed to us. The word is where we learn his teaching. The word, the Bible, is the instrument that he uses to change us, to transform us, to shape us. There is no discipleship taking place between you and Jesus if you're not spending time with him in his word and in prayer. Now, we're gonna get really practical this morning. That's why I brought this little Elmo here, is what it's called. It's kind of a projector. You're gonna see some images here on the screen in just a minute, because I'm gonna show you how I walk with the Lord in my own personal walk with him, how I try to be the Lord's disciple through spending time alone with him in the word and in prayer. Now, as we get started here, let me just kind of give two qualifiers. One is, what I'm gonna show you today and talk to you about today is a way, all right, to have time alone with the Lord. It's not the way. Many of you are senior saints and you've been spending time with Jesus for a long time. And you don't have to, you know how to walk with the Lord. You've been walking with the Lord. Others of you, you're elementary. You haven't really started. Maybe this will help, okay? But I just want you to just take it all in. I'm going to have points that I'm throwing up. I'm going to show you some things here on the screen here in just a minute. But qualifier number one is this is a way, what I'm going to talk about today, not the way. Secondly, whatever I tell you today, the temptation is going to be for you to say, man, I'm going to start that tomorrow, okay? I've been following Jesus for 20 plus years. I've been his disciple for a long time. And if you do that, it's gonna be like me going in a weight room tomorrow when I hadn't lifted a weight in like years, all right? And I'm like, I'm gonna go in there and kill it, all right? I won't be able to move the next day. So in this, less is more. Take what we talk about here and make it your own and just ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom as we start going through this process today. Now, the first point I'm gonna give you is to think relationship, all right? Think relationship. Why do I say this? Because oftentimes we call prayer and Bible study spiritual disciplines, right? And they are spiritual disciplines. But you have to think relationship when you get into the Word of God and get into prayer. Because you can do a quiet time and you can read the Bible and you can check it off your list and your heart not be any closer to the Lord Jesus Christ than you were when you opened it up. So whatever you do, whenever we enter into a time with the Lord, we have to think relationship. Think relationship, relationship, relationship. Reading the Bible and praying are not an end in and of themselves. They're a means to an end, growing in a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ, okay? Secondly, I want you to find a time, place, and rhythm that is conducive to meet with Jesus, all right? This is gonna look different for everybody. Now, I'm gonna fly through these. I need you to hang with me. But you've gotta find a time, place, and rhythm, i.e. routine, that is conducive for you to meet with Jesus. And everybody's different. Some of you, you're early morning people, man. You wake up and you're singing, okay? And you're ready to start the day and get in. Others of you, you barely made it to church at 10:45 on time, all right? You came in after the first song. No judgment, it's just the way we're wired. Okay? Some of you love nature and you feel really close to the Lord in nature. You like being outside. Others of you, you like a coffee shop, man, where things are going on. You can put your earphones in. And that's just, I don't know how you need to do it. I'm just telling you, you need to find a time, you need to find a place, and you need to find a routine and rhythm that is conducive to meet with Jesus. Now, Jesus gave us his routine. The Bible says in Mark 1, I believe it's verse 35, that he would go to a solitary place, he would go to a desolate place, and he would do it early in the morning. That's Mark chapter 1, verse 35. He'd do it early in the morning. And for most of us, I know some of you are saying, no, I'm a night owl, but for most of us, you need to give God your mornings. That's when you're plugged in. You need to do it before you start your day. But again, to each his own, the most important thing is you give God your very best, okay? Number three, if you're wondering, I got two places. I switch them on and off depending on the mood I'm in that morning when I wake up. I get coffee and I'm either going to the living room, I've got a little setup there at the living room, or I've got my study at the house that I go into. It's gonna be one of those two places, all right? Number three, develop a reading plan. Now, once you can get a reading plan. I told you I'm gonna be so practical in this message. You can get a reading plan anywhere online. But the key is just giving yourself every single day to taking in and digesting the Word of God. Now, in this, I will tell you, less is more. You know, if you haven't been having a time alone with the Lord, don't jump in and read three chapters tomorrow. All right, read one paragraph, and just less is more. Take in one truth. But when you have a reading plan and you're reading the Bible systematically and you're reading it holistically, you start to see how it fits together. I'll show you what I do here in just a moment. I do my proverb of the day. So right here, you're going to see. And this morning, I've got my journal here. And I'll get into this here in just a moment. But you're gonna see right here, my proverb of the day was this morning, was Proverbs chapter 11. And so this is where I was, Proverbs chapter 11 right here. And you can see all that. I write in my Bibles. I like to take notes. I like to pray the scripture in. I'm gonna talk about that in just a minute. But I do the proverb of the day. Then I go to the Psalms right here. Okay, and I do 2 to 3 psalm a day, depending upon the size, depending on my time, where I'm at. And I'm systematically read this scripture in. I'll tell you what I do with it here in just a minute. My Old Testament reading, I do one Old Testament chapter. That was Hosea chapter 10 this morning. And then I do one New Testament chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 was this morning. So I say this to say, if you do this, you read Proverbs, you can do it 12 times in a year. There's 31 Proverbs. If you do two or three, four Psalms a day, you'll read the Psalms four times in a year. If you do the Old Testament one chapter a day, you'll read it a year and a half to 2 years. You'll get the Old Testament in. And if you do the New Testament about a chapter a day, you'll get it twice in about a year, year and a half, okay? Depending if you miss days or not. But you need to develop a reading plan. Now on that, I want you to make sure that you get a good study Bible, all right? This is the next note, all right? Get a good study Bible and get a good journal, all right? Now study Bible, the reason study Bible is very important is because they have notes in them, okay? I brought a few of mine up here. I've got the ESV study Bible. Most of the times I get hardback, all right? I'm not bringing this one to church. It weighs too much, all right? But I keep it here, and this is, it's got notes in it. I've got the Holman Christian Standard Bible that I've gone through, the NIV study. It doesn't matter, but a study Bible is like a seminary education, and it'll really help you. If you get a good study Bible, if you don't understand something, instead of just glancing over it, they have these notes, they have these cross references. It's easy, but if you're serious about the study of the Bible, get these Bibles right here. Just any study Bible, you can get them online. I know I'm old school here with my books and everything. A lot of this we do electronically now. However you choose to do it though, you get a good Bible and get a good journal. Now, okay, I brought these out here, okay? I brought these out here. This is 20 years of my spiritual life right here. I started journaling when I was in high school, and I've kept these journals, obviously. I don't show this to say, oh, look at me. I show this to hopefully inspire you to say, man, I can pick out one of these journals here, and I can pick the date out, and I can go to today's date from 10 years ago and see what God was teaching me. And I can look in there, and I can see what I was struggling with and go, my goodness, I can't believe I struggle with that. That was crazy. Look at where you're taking me, God. And then the other side, I look at it and go, my goodness, I was struggling with that 10 years ago. I'm still struggling with it. God, what's wrong with me? And it's all right here. You say, man, that's awesome. Are you going to publish those one day or give them to your kids? Heavens no. In my will, these are to be burned, all right? Every single one of them. Because this is my walk with the Lord. In fact, I'm going to show you in just a minute. I write in hieroglyphics, so even if I lost one of these, you couldn't figure out what I was struggling with and walking with to save your life. It's between me and the Lord. But it shows spiritual growth. And again, when you write things down, I just believe this. When you're in your time alone with the Lord, you got the Holy Spirit of God in you, you got the Word of God before you, there's nothing coincidence. And so God speaks, you're writing it down. So get you a good study Bible and get you a good journal. Next, limit distractions and refuse to rush. I'm not going to stay here long. This speaks for itself. But listen, if you're meeting with somebody important, no way on God's green earth, if you were meeting with them, would you be checking your phone while they're talking to you? Wouldn't happen. Limit distractions. Turn the notifications off. Get quiet. Get in a place where you can hear from the Lord. And don't rush. Listen to me. God does not download transformational spiritual truth to those in a hurry. You can't rush the Holy Spirit of God. And so this is Luke 10, right? Mary sitting before the feet of Jesus. Jesus says, she's chosen what is better. Where else do you want to go when you're sitting before the Almighty? So limit your distractions, refuse to rush. Number six, pray the scripture. I'm gonna walk you through what I mean by praying the scripture. But if you want answers to your prayer, we got to pray. The will of God is the word of God, and we've got to learn to pray the word of God over our situations, over our loved ones, because that's the prayers that God answers. And then number seven, always act and implement. Let me show you what I'm talking about here. Always act and implement. It's amazing how God, when you're using his word, will speak to you. And always act and implement. So right here, you can't read this, all right? But I'm just gonna read it to you. Proverbs 11, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise. All right, whoever captures souls, whoever's an evangelist, whoever's going after the heart of men is a wise person. And so over here, I've got some people that I'm praying for, their names, people that I wanna come to know Christ. And as I get to Proverbs 11, every single month, this is a reminder to me, all right, next time I see this individual, Lord, I'm praying for their soul. Capture their soul. Give me eyes to see. And so it becomes action and implementation. What did James say? What good is it if you know the word, but you don't do it? What's going on there? Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So the litmus test for a true disciple, a true learner, is are you obeying what your rabbi tells you to do? Some of us are beyond, our level of education is beyond our obedience. We are Bible studied out, and our heads are big and our hearts are small because we're not using our hands in service to the King. We're not working. All right? We don't want knowledge that puffs up. Who cares if you win a Bible trivia contest, but stink at life? So we've got to implement, and this is not something we do in and of ourselves. If you listen to anything I say today and you're thinking you got to grit your teeth and do it more, no. This is something the Holy Spirit works in you. I need the Holy Spirit's power to get up in the morning and spend time with Him, and I need the Holy Spirit's power to implement what He teaches me. It's all the Holy Spirit, but because the Holy Spirit lives in me, I cooperate with Him in my sanctification. He's the one doing it. But I wake up, I submit myself to Him, I open up, I surrender. And so this is what Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, we work out our salvation, but God works in us, okay? So this isn't grit your teeth, do better, all right? Now, last thing, this is number 8-pointer. Give yourself grace, because you're gonna miss days, you're gonna get off your reading plan. Man, we got young moms in here. And I'm talking about waking up early and spending time with the Lord. And you're like, you have no idea, Pastor Jared. I'm barely awake right now. All right. You go through seasons of life. There's sickness. There's busy travel seasons. I'm just trying to encourage. This is relationship. So don't get rigid. Always think relationship and give yourself grace. Now, let me show you how I do this. And I'm just gonna, again, my goal is to get real practical with you. I'll show you how I do my time alone with the Lord. And this is from just this morning, okay? So I'm letting you in on a little thing here. I'm not worried about it. You can't read my writing anyway. I'll read it to you. But here it is, all right? So this morning I get up early, which is my practice pretty much every day. I get up a little bit earlier on Sunday mornings because I want to be ready to go. And I have entered reader stage, all right? So here we go. 1:11:25. If anything's going on that day, that's a big deal, I write it at the top. This says, twins' birthday. They're 14 years old today, the little 20s. They're not little anymore. And my Kelsey, she turned 18 yesterday, all right, on 1-10. So we're birthday family. I got right over here how much I weigh just because I'm keeping it. You know, I'm keeping tabs on it. I weigh every morning. I want to, you know, I'm a little heavy from Thanksgiving and Christmas. Give me a little grace, all right? So here's what I do. First day. All right, I pray the scriptures. Lord, thank you for another day to live for you. Speak to me as I read your word today. Everything, I can't even read my reading. I confess any unconfessed sin. Help me to listen to your truth. I want to be surrendered to you today. God, teach me, lead me, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I'm sitting before him today. I just open myself up. That's every single day. Okay, just a brief prayer. And why do I write it down? Because my mind wanders and I want to engage. And so when I write down, my mind's engaging, my mind's not wondering. So then I start my reading, Proverbs chapter 11. Now sometimes nothing pops off the page in Proverbs 11 and I go straight to the Psalms. Other days it may just be one verse that pops up and I like to write that verse down. So today was Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. And I just, you know, just wrote that down. It's just a good reminder, man, don't get prideful. Be a humble person, come on. Then I got to verse 24. Whoever brings blessing, it'll be enriched. And the one who waters, he himself will be watered. It's just about encouragement. I wanna be an encouragement to other people. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And as I'm writing down, look, I'm looking in my Bible and I write dates in my Bible. So you see this right here? This says 2/11/22. This says Stephanie Williford passes away. She was a great friend of mine and Debbie's. And we walked with Stephanie and Brian, and she was not even 30 years old when she passed away. And she passed away in February of 22. So what happens is, the reason I write dates like this is because when I come to this date in February next month, I will talk about action and implementation. I'll read this, and I'll shoot Brian a text. I'll say, Brian, buddy, I know it's been few years since Stephanie's passing. I just want you to know I love you and I'm praying for you today. And so it's just a reminder, and I pray for Brian. And so I write dates like that in my Bible. Again, I want it to be interaction. In 17, you see right up here, and I just wrote this down, on September 11, 2017, we were considering, Debbie and I were considering a home to purchase when we were living up in the Dallas area. And I just didn't know what the wisdom was on it. And so I was thinking about it and praying about it. I come to Proverbs 11 that day, and dang, if the Lord doesn't go, hey, look at verse 14. Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but an abundance of counselors, there's safety. And that God spoke to me that day through his word. Jared, you're having struggling with make this decision. Go get some people around you and bring them in. Show them your finances. Show them where you're at. Show them the home. Let them help you. And so God just speaks to me. And I just, you know, these are just things that just remind. So I'm interacting with the scripture. I go to my Psalms reading. Okay. Now what's interesting about today is in my Proverbs reading, I noticed, because here's a key in Bible study. You have to observe. Read. Repetition of words. Take it in. Let me show you some things to look for in your Bible. Now, y'all are going to have to take a picture of this. We ain't got time to keep it on there. I'm flying through this. But here's some things to look for as you're doing your Bible study. There's promises in Scripture. There's sins to forsake. There's blessings to enjoy. Examples to follow. Teachings to learn. Take a picture. And you can put that picture by your Bible study and say, okay, now I'm looking for truth, right? Because the Bible's it's a treasure map for life. God, this is in black and white. Avoid this sin. That's all right. This is a promise that you made to me. I can claim this today. And you can take it in, all right? Examples. Or you can do the hear method, H-E-A-R. So you can, again, less is more. Maybe there's just one verse you look at. Highlight it, all right? Then you want to explain it. God, Holy Spirit, you're the illuminator of truth. Help me understand this. You got your study Bible? Read the study notes on it. Less is more. Lord, help me to apply this to my life. How does this affect me today? And then you respond. It's action. I'm going to implement it. These are just some things that you can do. So today, just in my observation, in Proverbs, I thought, my goodness, the word righteousness is used a lot. And so 10 times. I thought it was 7, and then I kept reading, and then it was 8, and I had to move, and then it was 9. That's 10 times. And I wrote down all the times that it's used. I just thought that was interesting, okay? Then I go to my Psalms reading, and I'm reading Psalm 4, 5, and 6 today. And I get to Psalm 5, and I notice, I prayed Psalm 4:3. I just thank God, talking about praying scripture. Psalm 4:3 says, the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. He hears when I call to him. And I just said, Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you for hearing me when I call. Man, it's a prayer of thanksgiving. God, the God of the universe, hears my prayers. That's amazing, okay? So then I got into 5:12, you bless the righteous. Verse 8, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. So I just read it 10 times in Proverbs. Here's twice in Psalm 5. I got to my Old Testament reading in Hosea 10. Look at this. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground. So I'm reading this and I'm going, oh Lord, there's a theme for the day right here. Help me to sow righteousness. Rain your righteousness upon me and my family as we seek you. Soften my heart. Lord, I want to break up that fallow ground anywhere my heart is hard. And then I just wrote a note, like righteousness is not something I do as much as it's something God pours out and produces in me. It results in actions that are righteous, but it doesn't start there. Lord, rain your righteousness on me today, Lord, for your glory. 1 Corinthians 1:8, I go to my New Testament writing, same thing. This is like my hieroglyphics, you don't even know, but the Bible talks in 1 Corinthians 8 about not making a younger brother or a weaker brother stumble. And so I said, Holy Spirit, is there anything in me, things I do that make somebody stumble? And God gave me three things right there, and you don't know what they are. He does. And I just confessed them and hopefully repented from them. Time will tell. And then I make a prayer request list, and I do this every day. That was yesterday. This is today. I'm praying for services today, praying for this message. Praying for wisdom, you know, when we're coming across things that are happening in Minnesota and we're looking at what's going on in Iran. I prayed for Iran right here. Lord, I need wisdom on how to address that, what to say, what not to say. Give me your Holy Spirit wisdom, when to address it. I prayed for Cam and Landry. Those are the twins. You know what I prayed for? Righteousness. Lord, let them be righteous in you and let them live righteously. You better live righteously, girls. All right, winter huddle. Winter Huddle tonight at North Klein. Next week it's here. Prayed for the Winter Huddle because we're going to cast vision for next. And I prayed for next, for you to receive the vision that God, we believe the direction God is taking us. So I'm saturating that in prayer again, praying for other things. But that's as simple as I do it right there. Guys, you can take this off the screen now. That's as simple as it is right there. And this is what abiding, this is what remaining in the Lord looks like. It's just getting alone with God in his word and prayer and being a learner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Kick that dust on me, Jesus. I want to be so close. My face, I got to have a shower every day. I'm following you so close. Now, if you're a disciple of the Jesus, you have a responsibility to disciple, to pass the baton of faith onto someone you know. Paul put it like this in 2 Timothy chapter 2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Look at this. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men. That word entrust there, it's a banking term. It means deposit for safekeeping. In other words, you and I are to take what we learn in Scripture and we are to deposit it in someone else. We are to give it to someone else that they safeguard it and they in return pass it on to someone else. It's this idea of passing a baton, and all of us ought to have people that we are passing on the faith to. It starts with our immediate family. We ought to be passing the baton of faith on to our kids. We ought to be passing the baton of faith on to our grandkids. And then it goes outwardly from there, from every relationships. Again, the Great Commission, as you go, our head is on a swivel. God, who can I teach to be a learner of you, the great rabbi? I just put this in my notes here. Like, surely you're not holding on to the baton. Surely you're passing it on to someone else. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, someone passed their faith on to you. We have a driving statement behind every focus priority. And here's the driving statement behind this priority of making disciples. When I stand before the Lord, and all of us will one day, and we'll give an account for our lives on an individual basis. It ain't gonna be looking to the right or the left. It's you and the Lord. Will you be happy with what you have to present to God? Not gonna be your resume. Not gonna be who you know. Not gonna be your trophies. I mean, none of that matters in the end. What matters is who's behind me in my wake, because I pass the baton of faith on to them. I want to invite Jeff Hecker to the platform. Jeff, come on up very quickly. Jeff, come on up. And y'all welcome Jeff Hecker to the platform here. Jeff's a good buddy of mine. Jeff is a personal trainer in the Woodlands area. And we met several years ago, about 3 years ago. He started coming to Champion Forest. Jeff, fill us in on where you were 3 years ago from a spiritual standpoint. Go ahead. Talk to us.
Thank you very much. 3 years ago.
We got it on?
Did I get it on there? It worked less.
It's there. All right. Here we go.
So 3 years ago, I guess I was on the fence. I committed to Christ, I guess, about 20 years ago. And did an altar call in an entire week. I was to get baptized the next week. And I was just under just duress that entire week. The enemy was just telling me how I wasn't worthy, how I screw up. Couldn't even go 1 week without messing up. And I just kind of fought that turmoil for the better part of 20 years. And then came in here and hooked up with this guy and just finally committed to him, talked to him, telling him, I just don't feel worthy. I don't feel like I deserve any of this. And he's like, duh, you don't, you know, none of us.
Yeah, you're not worthy, Jeff. What are you talking about? And let me translate what he was saying. He had followed Jesus for 20 years and there was no victory. Nope. There was no sense of confidence in walking in with the Lord. What was the catalyst for you in saying, I got to get in the game and begin really getting serious about the Lord and coming back to church?
Catalyst for me was our daughter. I have a lovely wife, and we have a daughter, Haley, who's 19. This would have been about her sophomore to junior year, and she was about to go off to college, and we were just both convicted that we hadn't provided her a godly example. We would go to church for a little while and then kind of fall off. You know, we taught her about Jesus, but we never really dug in and showed her that example. So we wanted to do that before we led her out into the wild.
Some form of discipleship. She ended up going to A&M. I don't know what kind of discipleship you got going in your home. But So what's it been like? What's it been like being in a discipleship relationship? Like just meeting Jeff and I, we meet every week. And I was just asking him, I asked him in the first service, how did we even meet? And it was his, your brother, Chris,
yeah,
who just recently started teaching a life group with a group here for young adults, if you're interested. And Chris, I met Chris at an event, and he told me that you were coming. I said, well, give me his number. I'll reach out to him. We ended up having lunch.
Yeah.
And that started, you know, for the last couple years. We meet every week. And we go through Experiencing God, the workbook, is what we've been going through recently. And then we just talk about what's going on in our time alone with the Lord. And you'll be amazed how often those things cross like that. But what's it been like for you being in a discipleship relationship?
It's been amazing. It's been life-changing. Everybody in my life can tell a difference. I'm a strength coach, so I spend most of my time in the gym in Nike shorts. I'm not very buttoned up, so at the very beginning, I thought something like this would be kind of stuffy and everything kind of not my cup of tea, but it's nothing further from the truth than that. Like I said, we hang out, talk football, make fun of the Aggies.
Yeah.
We also, we're both only guys with testosterone in our households. And so we kind of chop it up a little bit, and then we just lean into the Word, and it's just so amazing. It's totally life-changing, something that I struggle with so long. I can talk to him, and he's like, I felt that way before, and this is what I did. You can refer me to scripture. And so it just really given me the confidence to say yes to something like this and be in front of all you all.
Yeah, he told me, you know, God's teaching him to say yes, and he goes obey. And I said, well, good, I need you to help me preach on Sunday. Now that you said yes. And he's like, what? All right. So now, final thing I'll say, and we'll close it out, is would you encourage someone to be a part of a discipleship relationship?
Oh, no doubt. It has been, like I said, it's been life-changing. And since I just leaned in, and like I said, with getting to meet with him, I see a step. It's not overwhelming, and it's changed my life. My daughter's been baptized. My mother-in-law's been baptized. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law are members of the church now, and so she's been a slam dunk. Please take the step.
Praise God. Thank you, Jeff. You're awesome. Thank you, Nikki. Love your family, the Hecker family. Now, real quick, you saw the Experience in God slot on there. We're going to start that in Wednesday, January 28th, right here, okay? It says $20 a person. That's for the workbook, so you can buy it online. But we're going to meet in the FLC. I'm going to lead us through Experiencing God. I just felt a weight in this. So if you're looking for like an entry-level discipleship, we're going to talk for about 30 minutes, and then we'll have table groups. And then also, if you are interested in next steps, like you've never been discipled, text next steps to 77069. We have people that are ready to disciple you, and we'll try to pair you up, mix and match it to where, you know, there's an affinity right there, and you can do that. And we have a next step booth right out here in the commons. If you want to go afterwards and say, man, I need somebody to put the baton in my hand, or I'm ready to put the baton in somebody else's hand, you just go to our table right there. 2026, all right? We're going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're doing it right, we're going to disciple someone else. Amen?
Thank you for joining us for Champion Forest Online. We hope today's message encouraged and inspired you. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We would love the opportunity to get to know you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. We're so glad you joined us today, and we'll see you again next time.